The Football Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
How's it going? Tommy here from The Football Pod. Just giving you a heads up that for the next 6 weeks or so, across the run-in to the end of the intercounty season, we'll be bringing you two episodes a week of The Football Pod, at least two, because there'll be plenty of games and weekends that myself and Paddy and James will be covering for Off the Ball as well. So there's plenty more Football Pod goodness to get your hands on. We'll probably bring you the second episode on a Wednesday or a Thursday as we preview the weekend ahead. As usual, you'll get the pod for free on a Sunday or a Monday, depending on our work schedules and just how excited we are after the weekend. But there's been a lot of Sundays and early morning Monday recordings recently. This weekend, again, promises to be an absolute belter. Four quarterfinals, two teams from each province, four very evenly matched games, two in particular look really tight. We've got Cork and Mayo to kick us off. We have got Kerry and Tyrone then later on Saturday evening. What a beautiful doubleheader. There's over 120,000 people expected in Croke Park this Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday, we've got the meeting of Louth and Monaghan, two neighbours up against each other with a 50-50 shot of getting to an All-Ireland semi-final. And then it's all capped off with the meeting of Galway and Dublin later in the afternoon on Sunday. That's a 4 p.m. throw-in. It'll be very poignant as well as we mark the passing, the very sad passing of Paul Clancy, who won two All-Irelands with Galway back in 98 and 2001. And as you'll hear a little later in this unlocked moment from the Football Pod, we read out a letter that was sent to us 2 years ago from a clubmate of Paul's before Paul joined us on our roadshow with the Football Pod before the All-Ireland final of 2024. And Brian Grant reached out again this week and echoed some of those words again. So I'll bring you that email a little later with some lovely words on Paul's legacy. But right now I'm going to just give you a little insight and a glimpse into what you're missing if you're not an Off the Ball member. From our member show this week, there was over 2 hours of Football Pod brought to you this week. Actually 3 hours if you include my chats with James and Paddy in Killarney and in Croke Park last weekend. So there's plenty for you to get stuck into. It's been a wonderful summer of football. It promises to be an even better weekend ahead. And we're just going to start here with the two lads, Paddy and James, disagreeing for once on who's going to win between Cork and Mayo. Enjoy.
And Cork, the biggest accusation I always had with Cork over the last 5-6 years, probably even longer, was their inconsistency. They have addressed that to an extent this season, winning 6 or 7 league games, getting promoted to Division 1, and bar that second half in the Munster final and the first half against Meath and Portcullen, they've been quite good, and they seem to have landed on something that suits their style of play. It's not a kick-passing game, as Jimmy said. It's not this free-flowing, sexy stuff. It's we're going to get our banks back in our full-back and our half-back line. We're going to work our backsides off. We know we've got a platform around the middle with Maguire and Colm O'Callaghan. Cork's physicality and athleticism is never in question. They're very experienced in terms of their training age under Cleary. And we're going to run the ball up the pitch. And we've got arguably the best two-point shooter in the game. So we're going to do that. And that might be enough. It was enough to beat Donegal. When that threat was taken away in the Munster final, they didn't have anything else. They didn't have anything else. Foley goes on Sherlock, totally nullifies him. They're playing into a stiff breeze. All of a sudden, they're absolutely no scoring threat whatsoever. I don't think they've developed anything since then. But it's not to say what they're doing doesn't work. No. And you think against Mayo, Cork's strengths really accentuate Mayo's weaknesses. And that's where I'm kind of going. I don't think Mayo are going to change massively from what we've seen seven days ago.
No.
I don't think they can. I think they'll have some sort of plan for Sherlock. I think Jordan Flynn and Jack Kearney need to have a game for the ages to give Mayo some sort of platform.
Yeah,
I think that forwards can hurt Cork, but I just think Cork, with their style of play and their strengths and the confidence they have from that Donegal one in particular, I can see Cork probably nicking this one.
Jeez, but it's like this interesting.
That is, I go the other way. I don't think we've disagreed on a game in a long time, properly, but like.
Cork have had a great
Cork
year.
Cork will score goals to me. I feel Cork will score goals in this match. Because of Mayo's weaknesses, like play right to Cork's strengths.
Yeah, you could say that Cork is a gargoyle because of Mayo nearly more than because of Cork.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, I think Cork have had, they've had a great year in terms of getting promoted, a quarter final, so they can go in here and not pressure off, but like, we have already delivered a great season.
Oh,
like,
I don't know about that. I think there's pressure off. I think this is a huge game. It's an all-out.
There's no doubt it's a huge game, but I think they can treat it a bit more pressure off, a little bit more. I think that Mayo need to go in and win this.
I disagree, James. I think last year, if you get to an All-Ireland quarterfinal last year or last eight, maybe to have that attitude. But this is a golden ticket to an All-Ireland semi-final.
I think Cleary will be trying to take the pressure off these fellas. Like,
I don't know.
I'm strongly leaning towards Mayo anyway. But what? I think that Mayo have more, and I think the Cork's attack is the easiest to defend against. They're waiting for those two point shots. I think defend the arc with your absolute life, with concentration, and they should have enough going the other way.
Okay,
Mayo have shown no, absolutely zero inclination to be able to do that in every game we've seen from them. I agree. It's an easy fix. But both these teams are flawed. They're like, yeah. And that's why it's a golden opportunity to get to an All-Ireland semi-final. Cork's attack is one-dimensional. It is. And Cork fans can roll their eyes and piss off.
It is.
That's everything we've seen, not just this season. And Mayo's defence is as porous as it's ever been.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why it's a huge opportunity.
The porousness, I think, is fixable with concentration, organisation, all these buzzwords, and then just do not let Sherlock off. Sometimes when I've seen Sherlock have these great days, and by the way, Sherlock is a brilliant player. I'm not putting anything off Sherlock. But to defend those players, you can't be distracted by the game. You almost need to be a selfish defender. If something's going on behind you, you ain't helping. You're on Sherlock, because all the Sherlock will do is get that hand pass when you do help your other defender and swing over a two-pointer. You need to be almost a selfish defender. Rule Sherlock out. And that's something that can be done, not easily, but can be taught quickly.
I agree with that, Jimmy. But look at last weekend. All six of Mayo's defenders were defending like that. For all six of them.
Yeah.
They're running up into the stands, they're running in the corners, and Sean Coffey and Kieran Coffey are walking through and going, there's nobody here in the middle channel. So I agree, do it with Sherlock. You can't man mark six. You don't need to against Cork, but you need to. I would look at Callanan on Sherlock and just go, you're diligent, you have the agility, the speed, like Jason Foley did with him, take him out, but the other five. And Jordan Flynn and Kearney and the wing forwards, your other maybe 9 or 10 defenders are going to be there. You've got to have a structure and not be dragged all over the pitch. Because if you are and you've 8 or 9 defenders doing their own thing, worrying about themselves, Cork's running game, Brian O'Driscoll, these guys, Ian McGuire bursting through the middle, they will get massive goal chances. Jack Livingston should not be man of the match at the weekend. That's what Andy Moran and Colin Boyle have got to be saying to that defensive system. Put one guy on Sherlock. Let him be selfish and try to take him out of the game, but you've got to defend collectively for the rest. Mayo will know this. Andy Moran knows this. Like, Colin Boyle was part of this for his whole career. This will not be a new thing. It's been so glaringly obvious that they haven't fixed it yet. My concern is that they're not going to fix it now.
Yeah.
No.
It's such an interesting game. And I watched back the Cork-Mayo quarterfinal from 2014. Cork running them to a point. Ian McGuire started that day. Brian Hurley had a day of days as well. And Mayo just about got over the line that day. I think this one's going to be less. Like, that was a Cork team that were just off the back of an All-Ireland title. And Mayo were obviously coming, but they were runners up the year before. So this is a very different team on both sides.
Who are you leaning towards, T, if we're in disagreement there?
I'm going to give my prediction before we wrap up, because I'm moving on to the next game now. Loud and Monaghan is another 50-50 game. And Paddy, I'd like to start with you on this one. Like, you've seen a good bit of Monaghan over the last couple of weeks and months. Where do you think this game is going to be decided?
You can't really get away from Rory Beggins' knock the last day. if he is available, maybe not oversimplified, but if he's missing for Monaghan, in terms of what he brings under restarts, in terms of the scoring threat, the two-point threat, opposition kickouts, that would be monumental for Monaghan not to have him on the pitch. And by all accounts, it looks like a groin injury, which is the worst type of one to have for Rory Began in terms of his skill set. So we're not going to know that. Gabriel Bannigan's not going to release that info until probably, whatever, 15 minutes before throw-in. But that aside, assuming that Began is fit, you look at the momentum Monaghan have behind them, just enormous credit to turn their season around. And as much as we're talking about Cork and Mayo, the opportunity, what an opportunity for both of these teams to get to an All-Ireland semi-final. We know Monaghan have been in two of them over the last decade. For Loud to get there, it is an unbelievable opportunity. It's also horrendously difficult to call. I've seen a lot of Loud as well, Tommy, and I've been pretty impressed with them. I know that their Armagh win, everyone will look back on the Rafferty moment or maybe the last minute or two from Armagh, but Loud had performed really well in that game, to be fair, in terms of their intensity and defence, getting their key guys into the game, not just Mulroy, but Downey, obviously James Maguire in the middle, Darren McDonald. These two young lads have been unbelievably impressive for me in terms of just their leadership, but their skills, like they're scoring threats. I know they're only kids, but they play like this is our team, which must be a breath of fresh air to the likes of Mulroy and Downey and Craig Lennon and these guys. So it's so difficult to call. We've written off Monaghan a couple of times, but you know, Jack McCarron, Daisy Ward, Conor McCarthy, what they're going to bring to the table. Killian Neville probably goes on Mulroy. McCarron, I know it's crazy to think he wasn't starting at the start of the championship. He's their main scoring threat. And then Stephen O'Hanlon's running game. So it's, again, like Cork and Mayo, you can make a case for both of these two teams. There's so little between these sides. I do think if it's Began not available, you'd have to lean towards Loud. If he is, and he's right,
He can't be right though.
To come off with a groin injury 6 days ago, it's like...
In terms of groin injuries, what kind of, like, are you looking at, can injection sort that in a week? Like, a muscular injury is difficult to sort in a week, like, you know, unless he wants to risk it and play through serious pain and do damage.
But the way his skill set should be, like, it's his kicking. You know, it's not like...
That's it, like, yeah.
It's like, you have to have that right. It's the same, we're looking at, we get out to Dublin with Khan, you know, in a week, if his hamstring, like, there is no time to recover. There's no time to recover. So I don't know who's going to win this game, boys. How close is this going to be? Both teams have momentum. Both teams have that, you know, maybe slow start to the season for both of them. Loud kind of got it together towards the end of Division 2. Monaghan didn't, but nearly won the Ulster Championship. And they're at an absolute roll now. They know Croke Park. Both these teams are experienced. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that much for a prediction show, but it's just so type of
I think results. you've set it up lovely there. Like the three kind of young midfielders, you mentioned Maguire, he got two goals against Dublin. Darren McDonald, man of the match the last day, 1-10. Sean Callaghan, the three of them are 21. There's this young cohort that we were in Loud last year and we were hearing about these boys that were coming. Yeah. Like, they have put their foot down on this season, those three lads. Stephen O'Hanlon, he's done a job with Dara Heenan. He did the same to Sam McCartan. You know, he hammers the hammer and he goes the other way. Is Craig Lennon the matchup for Stephen O'Hanlon if we're trying to look at horses for courses this week, James? Or I don't know what you're thinking there.
Well, yeah, Downey, maybe. No?
Maybe Downey, yeah. No, Downey's probably a bit too deep in.
What Bannigan has done with O'Hanlon is taking heat off him by putting him into the backs. He's given him responsibility to mark a fella. But if you think he's not then being marked... It's almost the exact same as what they did with Conor McCarthy. It's like you can come on to this, you can come into this attack from deeper without being tracked or tagged man on man. Like if you were the opposition defence and you knew that O'Hanlon was going to be playing 10, you'd be detailing someone for him and you'd be marking him tightly. If he's going to be playing 5, you're not going to do that. He's got his own marking job to do. So like, It was a great decision. It's been an absolute work of art seeing them do it. But that's the way Monaghan attack is, in these deep waves of attack with high quality and kickers back there who are willing to shoot. Like, so it suits them perfectly.
From listening to Bannigan, he treats that middle eight as an eight. I don't think he's too worried about, you're right half forward, you're left half back, you're midfield. They're fluid, yeah. But
if you're tagging someone, marking someone tightly,
yeah,
someone isn't going to come up and mark you then as well. There's not going to be three of you running around the place.
It happened in Tommy Walsh and Lark Corbett, and was it Jackie Tyrrell in the All-Ireland Hurling final, if you remember that? It was a bit first.
I think it was a very smart move in there to get Hanlon freed up at times, but also he obviously has those defensive capabilities and that searing pace to keep up with anyone, and fitness.
Yeah.
So there have been some great matchups, but I think it's helped his attack as well.
Yeah, both teams have a lot of threats. You know, Downey, Burns, Grimes is at big moments, McArdle, Mulroy, we know. And then Paddy mentioned on the flip side, McCarron, McCarthy, Ward. Woods has delivered two-pointers in the last couple of games as well. Bannigan is knitting it all together at 11. James, what way are you leaning?
Honestly, it's impossible. It is genuinely impossible. Like, in fairness to Gavin Devlin, right? That Loud team, if you think about where we were on them at the start of the year, it was like, they've won Leinster. They've reached their peak. Will anybody get these fellas going again? Do you know? For him to turn them around, have, you know, the comeback story they've had after a difficult start to the league, beat Armagh and order into quarterfinal with a great chance of being into an All-Ireland semi-final. It's a great story. And like, in fairness to Devlin, I think he's tapped into those fellas' minds so well, because a poor manager there would be, they'd almost be too happy to have won that, or too happy for the players to have won that Leinster and not been able to take them on again. Instead, they've used that and kicked on and now a chance to get to a semi. So I think that's a great story. In terms of where I'm leaning, I am leaning to Monaghan on this, because I just think that their legs and their fitness and their kickers, their kicking ability, and I think they've been around a while. Yeah. I still think Loud have a great chance, but for some reason my gut is with Monaghan on this one. But like, yeah, if they need to cut out Sam Mulroy, and obviously Craig Lennon, but mostly Mulroy. If they can keep Mulroy very quiet, torture him, just absolutely follow him everywhere, dunt him in the chest. If it needs verbals, you know, like, they need to throw the kitchen sink at Mulroy, because he is the heartbeat of that Loud team. He does everything for them. So that's the one they need to sort.
I know you got to go to work. So you've told us you're leaning towards Monaghan. You told us that you're leaning towards... Have you told us who you're leaning towards in the other game? Paddy Wilson.
Yeah, Mayo for me, baby.
And then what do you? I have a question on Kerry. Is there any changes to that Kerry team this week, in your opinion? We saw White, O'Shea back on the bench, Shane Ryan back on the bench.
I can't see Shane Ryan getting in just because of how fantastic Shane Murphy has been. I think Shane Ryan is the number one Kerry goalie, but Shane Murphy deserves to play. He's been fantastic all year, especially the last couple of rounds. So I don't see Shane Ryan coming back in. I think Gavin White will come back in at 7. I think that would be a big addition for Kerry in attack and defence, but he's going to be a huge addition.
Does that mean Graham O'Sullivan goes to cornerback, or somebody else goes to cornerback, or what?
I suppose that's a decision to be made. Last year, Graham played on the wing, but I think wing forward, but I think the half forward line is sewn up with Dermot, with Paddy, and with Joe O'Connor. Like, how are you going to take one of those out? So if Graham does lose out on the wing, he's either going to go back corner, which he hasn't played in a while. So that's a decision for Jack, because Graham has been a great servant for him and he loves him.
He does.
So it'd be interesting to see what they do there. I don't think they'll leave Gavin off another game. I think they're going to get him back in. And then with Shaun O'Shea, I can't see him playing from the start. No, I can't see him playing from the start. Even if I was Shaunie, you know, get it in your head. I'm going to be playing for a couple of games, 20 minutes. How can I contribute in that 20? Because if he gets too caught up in wanting to start and getting pissed off maybe that he's not starting, it puts you into a different mindset. Embrace where your body is. Embrace where you are. and give it that 20 minutes. Come on, have legs, have energy, have your kicking on point, and you will still be a huge force in this Kerry team. But if they try and rush him to start him, you're on a very fine line with confidence coming back from an injury. Do you know, yeah. they need to mind it, because he's too important to player, and we need him on the field for the important moments. So I think Gavin White in, and I don't think there'll be anything else, if I'm being
okay.
honest.
Okay, and look, Tyrone at times last year made it a game. David Clifford scores 1-9, but he doesn't win man of the match in the All-Ireland semi-final. Joe Connor kicked two massive points in the second half and had a mighty game. Can Tyrone cause Kerry bother? And I need a quick word here, James.
They can, but they need to throw something different at Kerry in attack. The last couple of Kerry Tyrone games, the country's been underwhelmed because Tyrone have gone samey with small nippy forwards. Kerry have small nippy backs to mark them. Kerry tag Tyrone's attack very well. The matchups are good on Kerry's side. I think that they need something different, some idea, some spark, some new tactic, like a Donaghy going into full forward that time. It needs something like that. It needs a change where everyone comes in behind it and you throw something different and you have a goal threat. Because I can't see Tyrone having enough in attack with what they've played against Kerry the last couple of times. So I would love to see, I'd love to be watching and see them do something completely different and go, whoa, this is new. The Kerry defence is going to have to figure this out. And that's when you have the chance of them not figuring it out. But if they come with the samey, I ain't going to do it this week, I don't think.
Paddy, I'm going to come back to you on that, Paddy, in a minute. James, just in a word, because there's some very sad news at a Galway this week that I want to get to before you go. But do you see Dublin causing another major upset on Sunday evening?
By all means, they could. But I think they left it all on the line against Donegal. From what I'm thinking about Dublin, they've almost sacrificed themselves in the last week. Like, they've knocked Donegal out, and I think every other team is going to feel the benefit of that. But for Dublin to get back up again now to launch another serious attack on Galway, who've just been resting and watching and getting ready, I think is going to be a very hard task. They got the worst draw. To get Galway, nobody wanted to get Galway, so they've got the worst draw. With Conn coming off injured with the hammer is a massive blow. And I'm thinking, if I was... I know, look, we've said the words Walsh and Comer so many times, but if I was Shane Walsh in this game, I would be absolutely buzzing. He's almost been forgotten about, in a way. Like, the other players have taken his place at the top couple in the country and all this, and he's not there. The country's going to be watching now. He's slowly and surely gotten better and better and better this year. He knows those Dublin defenders inside out from playing club football up there. And I don't think that Dublin have the one-on-one defenders to stop him. So I think that Galway will win this game, because emotionally for Dublin to get back up there again, and physically, I don't know, can they get there in time? And I think that Galway just have all their best fellas back, and they've been almost dormant for a while. I think they're waiting to explode. So I would back Galway in that. But again, that's not to take away from Dublin. They've been brilliant last week, but to get back up there again just seems so difficult emotionally. OTB
GAA. To bring you this email, folks, because it came back in July 2024. Brian Grant had reached out. It was the morning of our roadshow, so I'd usually be prepping away, getting ready with Paddy and James for what we're going to chat about. And I had this going through the back of my head, getting ready to speak to Paul Clancy and Stephen McDonald. And Brian reached out again this week and just reminded me of it. So I just wanted to bring you through it. Again, it's from July 24, so Paul Clancy wasn't sick at the time, and Brian wasn't sending it for any other reason other than just to share what he felt about someone. I'm not quite sure how well he knows Paul Clancy, but I'm sure there's a connection in the club or maybe somewhere in Galway. Hi, Tommy and lads. Long-time listener, first-time texter, which has now transcended into an email. I'm not sure if you'll receive this, Tommy, as I can only imagine the avalanche of messages and mails you have to get through at this time of the year, as well as prepare for tonight's show. But when I heard Paul was a guest tonight, I had to write as a member of the same club in Mike Cullen. I bought a ticket back in June after attending the show in Croke Park last year, but unfortunately can't attend tonight due to other commitments. But I've given my ticket to my brother earlier this week. Anyways, the reason I'm writing is just to highlight how much of a legend Paul Clancy is, not only for his accolades that everyone is aware of for the county, but more especially for the club, Cumann Pella Mike Cullen. He was always committed to the club throughout his county career and was an inspiration to all of the club players after his two All-Ireland wins. He was pivotal at centre-back in our own All-Ireland Intermediate Club win in 2008, scoring the levelling and the winning point against Enniskill in the All-Ireland semi-final, while his brother Garrod captained the team in Croke Park that day. In the following few years, we were challenging the best in the senior grade, only to be stopped by a Pádraig Joyce-led Killarearan side in close encounters. And while busy with other coaching commitments and taking a sabbatical from the club, he was lured back in and played a starring role with the Junior B team in 2012, the club's second team, scoring the levelling point in the county final on a miserable November day in the lashing rain in Pier Stadium before we went on to win the replay. While he was the star man in that win, he was very unassuming as always and let others enjoy the celebrations and take the glory. He was a part of the Galway under 21 coaching ticket in 2013 when Galway won the under 21 title, with Comer and Walsh being a part of that team. He returned to playing with the club in 14, appearing as a late sub in the Intermediate County Final and hitting the crossbar in the last minute, which would have promoted us back to senior again. We returned to senior the following year, and he was always influential in the club throughout those years, coaching and bringing through the new younger generation of players like Sean Kelly, Peter Cook and Desi Keneally. In 2019, he then took on the chairman role in the club, and it is no surprise that the club has had its most successful period, winning the first ever county senior title in 2020, followed up with another one in 2022, along with a Connacht club title, and facilities were improved, including planning for more pitches, as well as a state-of-the-art gym. Furthermore, a junior C team, the Socials third team, was formed under all under his guidance. And in the year that the team was formed in 2021, Paul would always give a helping hand when short of players in Tog for games. Although not as fit as he once was, he always had time in the ball and his class is and was permanent. With his Paul Scholes-esque vision and distribution, his magical left boot was still on point, making the biggest turkey, most useful footballer in the parish look half decent, believing that they could have been the PJ, the Savo or the Decky Meehan if they had just committed that bit more, but still provided them with an earlier, a memorable evening for them to wear, wearing the green and white, playing alongside Paul Clancy. James has said on numerous times in your podcast that a great player brings other players into the game. And not only has Paul done that on the pitch, but at every level of the club, providing more and more people with a sense of ownership, belonging and identity with the club. I was disappointed that I couldn't make it when I heard he was one of the panellists this evening. And anyways, have a great evening and I look forward to listening to the show when it's out tomorrow. Gáil libh abu. I just thought that was important to read today. When anyone passes away, we gather as people and we share stories about them and we grieve together by maybe laughing and chatting about how great they were and how brilliant they were. And that email was sent to us 2 years ago at a time when Paul Clancy wasn't sick. And when he hadn't sadly passed away, and I'm sure his family and his friends and the people that know him will hear stories like that all this week. But just for our listeners, I just thought it was maybe important to bring that to them and just share that. And thank Brian for reaching out and for getting in touch with us back then and again this week and bringing that back up. And again, our thoughts are with Paul Clancy's family and his friends this week. We'll chat to you next Monday on the Football Pod. I hope you all really enjoy the football and the good weather this week, and take care. Slán.
The Football Pod, on Off the Ball, brought to you by Movember, ahead of the game, building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.